Adventures in Research.
Excuse me, but what's all the excitement?
Say, you must be a stranger in New York. This is the day everybody's been waiting for. The official opening of the Brooklyn Bridge.
This is Paul Shannon transcribing another fascinating tale of science by Dr. Phillips Thomas, research engineer of the Westinghouse Research Laboratories. Today's story, Man of Destiny. May 24th, 1883. New York is a city on a delirious holiday of joy. All business has been suspended, and thousands upon thousands of men, women, and children, dressed in their Sunday best, line the banks of the East River, watching the dedication ceremonies that mark the culmination of a dream. A city's dream, created in granite and steel. The Brooklyn Bridge, 8th wonder of the world.
These ceremonies, the dedication of this vital link between Manhattan and Brooklyn, will be forgotten in a short space of time. But the bridge itself, with its massive towers, graceful arches, and airy suspension cables, will remain forever as a lasting monument to the man who conceived it and who lost his life in its service, John A. Roebling.
It took some 16 years to build the Brooklyn Bridge, but the idea was born many years before, as far back as 1840. When John Roebling, an immigrant engineer, 34 years old, stood at the bottom of a portage inclined plane, watching a railroad car being hauled up the side of the Allegheny Mountains. And as he watched...
The rope! It's broken! Look out! Clear out of the way! Run! The rope's broken!
This is horrible. How many men are hurt?
I don't know yet. There were about 8 of them standing right here when the rope broke.
I tell you, somebody ought to do something about these portage rope breaking. This is the second one this week.
Yeah.
The
trouble is you can't tell when they're going to break. Hey, give me a hand of this beam. Joe's under here. He might still be alive.
All right, ready. Heave now. All right, again. Heave.
Who is this man?
It's Joe. Or what's left of him. Crushed to death.
That makes 5 men crushed. 2 others got out of the way when they heard my warning. There ought to be some way to correct a situation like this, to prevent this shocking waste of human life.
There ought to be, sure. As far as I know, there isn't. Only thing we can do is keep an eye on the rope and trust the luck it doesn't break. And if it does break, jump.
But there must be some other way. There must be.
Mr. Wyatt, as district superintendent, I think you'll be more than interested in an idea I have for cutting down rope breakage on the portage railways.
Indeed I would, Roebling. What is it?
Thinking about the tragic event of yesterday kept me awake all night, figuring.
Very regrettable. Very. But what is the...
Well, I got to figuring out a substitute for the hemp rope we use. Hemp rope's bulky, expensive, and uncertain, cumbersome to handle.
I know all that, Roebling. Get to the point.
All right, I will. My idea is to use wire rope.
Rope made of wire? Ridiculous. I never heard of it. Where'd you ever get such an idea?
An inventor in Saxony produced wire rope about 1820.
How'd he do it?
Well, I don't remember. But given the time, I believe I could duplicate what he did.
You better forget the whole thing, Roebling. When you've been working on these portages as long as I have, you'll get used to seeing men killed by rope breakages. Forget it. Good day to you, Roebling.
Forget the whole thing. He doesn't know me. I'll make a wire rope and prove my idea's right.
John Roebling was a man of action. He went right to work on his idea, studying, experimenting, working around the clock, tirelessly. At last, his plans were all completed. He was ready for the actual twisting of the wire into rope. On his farm at Saxonburg, Pennsylvania, a group of his neighbors gathered to help.
Oh, hello, Eric. Say, what's this all about?
I don't know, Carl. Don Roebling asked me and the missus to come over and help make something or other.
That sounds mysterious. You know what? Oh, well, here's John Roebling now. Maybe he'll tell us.
Friends and neighbors, I've asked you to come over and help me make a wire rope.
A wire rope?
Well, that's something new, isn't it, John? I've never seen a wire rope.
Well, neither have I, Carl. But we'll see one soon, I hope.
However, a lot of wire you got over there, John.
Yes, and we'll need it, every bit. Now, first, we'll splice these wires into long lengths and wind them up on these reels so they'll run out easily. Then we'll twist 7 wires together into a strand.
Hey, John, what's that machine at the end of the meadow there?
Well, that's a machine I built to twist the strands into a rope, Carl. I'll need 2 men to operate it to keep the handle turning evenly. Oh,
me and Eric can handle that job, all right.
Sure.
All right. The rest of us will lay out the strands of wire, 7 strands at a time, along the meadow. And the machine will twist them into a rope. All right, everybody. Start laying out the strands. Carl, you and Eric man the machine.
It's a magnificent job. Far better than I ever expected. They said it couldn't be done, but we've done it. Thanks, neighbors, 1,000,000 times.
What are you going to do with it, John, now that you've got it?
Do? I'm going to sell it to the Pennsylvania Canal Commission for use on the Portage Railways to replace the hemp ropes they're using at present.
Good idea. They'll snap at it. Or they should, anyways.
Hello, Roebling. What's on your mind?
Wire rope, Mr. Wyatt.
Now, look, Roebling. I thought we had that all settled. You know as well as I do that a rope made of wire just isn't feasible. Nobody's ever heard of a rope made of wire.
Maybe not, but I've made one.
And besides, the commissioner... You what?
I've made a wire rope. You'll find it not only feasible, Mr. Wyatt, but less cumbersome, safer, and less likely to break than hemp rope.
There's no use, Roebling. We have a contract with the rope makers, and that's that. Wire rope or no wire rope.
But all I ask is a trial, a chance to prove that my wire rope is practical.
The answer is no. I'm sorry, Roebling, but no. Roebling, I've said no 1,000 times, but I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll talk to the commission about the matter and let you know. But don't expect any different answer. None of the commission ever heard of a wire rope either.
Well, Mr. Wyatt, what's the commission's answer?
Roebling, they've agreed to try out your wire rope on one of the canals in Klein Plains as a substitution for the hemp rope.
That's all I need, a trial.
But this trial demonstration must be at your own risk and your own expense.
That's agreeable. When is the trial to take place?
Whenever you're ready. Well, Roebling, are you nervous about this test?
A little, but not about the wire rope. I'm sure of that.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're just about ready, so we'll know how good your rope is. Yeah, there she goes. Seems to be pulling well, I'll say that for it. And as you said, it's not so cumbersome. But look out! The rope's breaking! Watch out! Clear the track! Well, Roebling?
I can't understand it. Something's wrong. That rope couldn't break like that. It couldn't.
It couldn't, but it did. Lucky no one was hurt. But there it is, Roebling. You saw it with your own eyes.
I can't understand. I'd like to examine the place where it broke, Mr. Wyatt. Something's wrong. I know it.
Examine all you want, Roebling, but you'll find it's just like I said in the first place. Wire rope won't work.
Mr. Roebling! Mr. Roebling!
One of my men. I wonder what he's so excited about. What is it, Carl?
Mr. Roebling, I was just examining the wire rope at the break.
Yes?
That rope didn't break at all. It was cut right at the splice and cut deliberately.
Are you sure, Carl?
There's no doubt about it.
Well, Mr. Wyatt, there's your answer. Thanks, Carl. John A. Roebling, civil engineer. May 19, 1842. This, I've heard of your regrettable accident at the demonstration and know the story. Sorry it happened. But have a great deal of confidence in your wire rope invention. I appoint you superintendent of Incline Plane Number 3. The state of Pennsylvania is behind you, too, for everything you need. Go ahead. Signed, John B. Butler, President of the Pennsylvania Canal Commission. Wire ropes furnished by John A. Roebling will be installed on all inclined planes, replacing the hempen ropes now in use.
Mr. Roebling, orders are pouring in for your wire rope. They want it for hoist ropes and mines, for rigging on ferries, tow lines, for dredges. Well, we need more room.
I know. We're moving from Saxonburg, Eric. I bought a factory site at Trenton, New Jersey. We're growing up, Eric, and this is only the beginning. I've bigger things in mind.
For over a half century, there's been talk of a bridge between New York and Brooklyn. But it's mostly talk. Gentlemen, as a qualified engineer, I say it can't be done.
And I say it can be done. I'd like a chance to prove it.
Mr. Roebling, you shall have your chance. Draw up your plan. Mr. Roebling, your plans and detailed report for the erection of a bridge linking Manhattan and Brooklyn has been accepted. And your appointment as chief engineer takes effect May 23rd, this year of 1867. Good luck.
Thus began the greatest drama in the history of bridge building. To John Roebling, it was the consummation of a lifelong ambition. The greatest engineering work of this continent and of the age. July 6, 1869, John Roebling, standing at the edge of the Fulton ferry slip, engrossed in a survey he was making, heedless of a ferry boat coming in.
Hey, there's a man standing on the slip!
Is he deaf or something? Hey, get out of the way!
Hey, look out there! The ferry's gonna hit him!
All right, Doctor. How badly am I hurt?
The ferry crushed your foot, Mr. Roebling. I'll have to amputate your toes immediately. No time to lose.
Then get on with it, Doctor.
Yes, just as soon as I get something to deaden the pain.
Never mind that. Don't waste time, man. Amputate.
This confounded foot is getting worse instead of better, son. Washington, I've trained you to take my place. You know all the plans I have for the bridge. If anything should happen to me, carry them out to the letter. I'm relying on you to make it the greatest work of art the world has ever seen. That's the way I planned it. It's your dream now.
John Roebling's work was done, but his memory lives on in the magnificent Brooklyn Bridge, which will always be associated with the name of Roebling. We pay tribute to John A. Roebling, the master planner, and to his son, Colonel Washington Roebling, who directed its building. The imprint of their genius is left to us all, will remain forever, enriching our nation's heritage. And that's today's story by Dr. Phillips Thomas, research engineer of the Westinghouse Research Laboratory. Join us again next week for another transcribed adventure in research.